Hello and welcome to Profiles in Risk. This is your host, Tony Canyas, and today I have with me Dale Sherman, longtime insurance adjuster, and long time adjuster, claim executive, and insurance attorney. Is that a fair way to put it?
I never had the pleasure of being an adjuster, but you got the other parts right.
Perfect. Long time claims leader and insurance attorney. Perfect. And very rarely do people talk about adjusting as having the pleasure too.
the people I've met were very good at it and they really had a passion for it.
Perfect. So for the listeners today, we're having a career conversation, which are really my favorite type of episodes. 90% of episodes we record are insurtech interviews. And the original idea of the podcast was to do exactly this, to sit down with insurance executives and have the career conversation, see what advice they have for future insurance professionals. So I'm so glad to be able to get you on, and especially I have not had many attorneys, and I do get calls from attorneys all the time who are interested in working in insurance or asking how to grow the career within insurance, and I don't really know what to tell them. So very much interested in this conversation. So Dale, if I'm not mistaken, you're in the Chicago area, right?
Correct. Born and raised. And that's where I've had my whole career.
Okay. And we're recording in October, so probably the last few nice weather days of the year.
Yeah. Things start to get a little bit sketchy after this weather-wise.
Okay. So how did you start your insurance career?
So I had a dad who was in insurance. He was an agent. And I grew up from the time being a little kid, picking up the phone and having professional type conversations as a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 7-year-old with people who would call, you know, with claims needs. And there was this pad of paper in front of the phone and I would take down all their information. And then I would listen to my dad call him back later on. And he had this great line when he was at the end of the conversation, he'd always tell him, "You don't have a worry in the world." And I thought, you know, that's great. He's leaving them with this peace of mind that he's going to take care of things on their behalf, or the company's going to take care of things on their behalf. And this is why they bought insurance in the first place. So that if something bad happened, it would be handled, it would be taken care of, and the onus wouldn't be on them. It would be on the people that they paid this premium to the whole time. And I thought with that one little catchphrase that he used at the end, which he sincerely meant, that really summed it all up. And that kind of inspired me to lean toward insurance, even though a lawyer was what I wanted to be and a lawyer was what I became. I ended up becoming an insurance lawyer.
Okay, so but you always knew that you wanted to do law, and basically seeing your dad.
So I wanted to try cases. And when I was in law school, you know, the things that really resonated with me were evidence and trial advocacy and a class called torts. So if you find fact patterns interesting, and every fact pattern is a little different in every claim and every case, and you're a lawyer, trying insurance cases is definitely for you because they're very fact specific, very fact dependent, and you really get to help people in their greatest time of need.
Okay. So right out of law school, did you come right into insurance? Did you do anything in between?
Nope, that was my first full-time gig as a lawyer, was working for a large insurance company, and they had a staff counsel office in Chicago, and that's where I started. I started out trying cases there, and I tried a bunch of cases, had a lot of success with jury trials, and someone had the idea that if this kid can win all these jury trials, he certainly can manage other attorneys. You know, maybe a little bit of a dicey proposition, but it worked out well. So I started managing people who were attorneys like me. I still kept a little bit of a pending myself. And, you know, I had people who had been practicing law longer than I'd been alive, and they were happy to remind me of that right out of the gate. So that made for something really critical for any leader, which is humility. You have to learn immediately that just because someone, you know, gives you a title or puts stripes on your arms, it doesn't mean that anyone's going to respect you. It doesn't mean anyone's going to follow you. You have to earn that respect every single day. You have to earn that trust every single day with every transaction, with every person. And they not only listen to what you say, but they watch what you do. So you have to be very careful that you're always leading from a place of dignity, a place of honor, and you're always doing things the right way, because people will not just follow your spoken words, but they'll follow your example as well.
Okay. That's fantastic advice for life in general.
Sure.
So on the business side of insurance, right, underwriters, claims adjusters, that kind of thing, growing your insurance career is actually rather easy. Like, get your CPCU, do a good job in the day job, learn all you can about insurance, and network to make sure that you have the right people in your corner. What about the legal side? Is there a, like, what is the, how do you grow your career on the legal side of insurance?
Well, so I'll follow up with a couple things that you reference. One of which is networking. And I think some people think of networking in, I'll use a word, shallow, right? They think of it in a shallow way, where if I just connect with somebody on LinkedIn, I'm networking. And that is a form of networking. But if you don't actually know them, if you've never spoken a word to them, they've never spoken a word to you, it's unlikely that particular relationship is going to bear much fruit in terms of career advancement. Mm-hmm. What really matters are the professional engagements that you have with different individuals and how you can add value for them, what you can do to improve, whatever it is that they're working on. One of the things that I suggest to people, if you have a skill, use it to add value. Do a seminar. Suggest to your leader that, hey, I know a lot about this specific area, whether it's law or underwriting or claims or whatever it is. If you know more than others know, and you can share that knowledge, and it doesn't cost anybody anything but their time, put on a seminar. If you're good at leading certain types of projects, raise your hand and volunteer to be a part of it. Leaders love that, because not a lot of people will go out of their way to take on extra work. And if you're willing to do it, and you're willing to be successful at it and do all the things it takes to be successful at it, that will really help your career grow. I don't want to, go too far afield from your question, but I think that the critical things, whether you're in law or whether you're in the business side, well, first and foremost, on the law side, be a business person who happens to be a lawyer and not the other way around. Because you're constantly thinking about the business and you're constantly thinking about the success of the business, and where your piece fits in as an attorney, because you might be trying cases, but you might be doing M&A work, or you might be doing work with vendors or with patent law or whatever else. But be a business person who happens to be a lawyer, not the other way around. Really learn the business, and then things can take off for you. But for anybody, and really this goes for any organization, corporations especially, I think of a three-legged stool. There's three really critical legs. You must be known, you must be liked, and you must be respected in order to advance. You've got to have backers. You've got to have allies. You've got to have sponsors, right? And if you're not known, liked, and respected, you're not going to go very far very fast. And again, I'm not talking about this in a superficial way. You really have to have people get to know you, and the best way professionally is for them to get to know your work. So have your work be out there. Have your work be known. And it's not about always saying, hey, look at me, and taking credit for everything. But the more people, going back to the earlier part of the conversation, the more people you do work on behalf of, the more people for whom you add value, the more people start to know your work, and they get to know you as a person. So getting to know people as a person, a little harder these days in the days of Zoom, because you can't just take someone to lunch, you can't just go to coffee with somebody, but you can set up virtual coffees, you can set up virtual lunches, and be very intentional about that. So make sure that you get yourself known. The liked part, well, that doesn't always come easily for everybody, right? But just be kind, be courteous, be respectful. And I think, don't always be seeking credit. Don't be high maintenance, right? And those are the kinds of things that will keep you liked. And respect it, right? If your work is great, and your work is always thoughtful and professional and timely is a big deal, then you'll start to be respected as well. And keeping your word, right? It's kind of a trite expression, but mean what you say what you mean. When you do that all the time, people will start to respect you. But going back to the known part, and then I'll send it back to you, Tony, here, because I gave a very long answer. But going back to the known part, in these talent reviews, right, and people who are less tenured coming up don't always think about, well, how is it that I get promoted? How is it that I get moved to a different organization? How is it that my career advances? There's talent reviews, and some organizations are every 6 months, some organizations are once a year, some organizations, they're much more frequent than that. But the worst thing that can be said about you in a talent review is not, you know, this person doesn't return my emails, because there's always someone who can defend that, and someone who's your advocate who will say, no, they're just very thoughtful, and they think through the response before they hit send. But the worst thing that can be said about you is, never heard of the person. I don't know this guy. I couldn't pick her out of a lineup. I couldn't pick him out of a lineup. If they bumped into me in the elevator, I wouldn't know them. That's the worst thing that can be said, because there's no defense to that, because you never got yourself known. So when it comes down to promoting two people who have relatively equal talent and accomplishments, why would somebody go out of their way to promote or advance someone they don't know versus someone they have gotten to know, someone that they like and someone that they respect? That's the person who's going to get the advancement.
I agree with that completely. Were there any special projects or even any cases, and I understand that you probably can't give too much detail, that really made a huge difference in your career, that really kind of fast-tracked your career?
There were certainly some specific ones, and I probably can't get into too much detail about some of those, but I'll just say in general, I volunteered a lot, right? So when I was a new lawyer, and we had a lot of turnover, right? So when people would leave the firm, I would always raise my hand and volunteer to take their trials, which the more tenured people were looking at me like, you know, this kid's nuts. He's crazy. Why would he want all that extra work? And I just thought to myself, well, you know, one of two things is going to happen. You know, I have success with this and it helps me move along. Or I have success with this or don't have success with this. And the company, you know, doesn't see fit to keep me around, but I still have this experience to take with me, right? So the experience is portable. So either way, I didn't see a downside. That getting that experience was only going to cost me my time and my effort, but there was really no downside to it at all, but tremendous upside. And I turned that into a lot of upside, because through trying all those cases, and I ended up, you know, winning a lot of those cases, I became known, I became liked, and I became respected.
So it worked. It paid off.
It worked. And, you know, the being a business person who happens to be a lawyer, that part worked too, because I ended up becoming an executive on the business side. Something I never thought coming in the door, but by having the right approach and the right attitude my whole career, that helped me get there.
Okay. Any organizations that like industry organizations that have been valuable to your career? Like on my side, CPCU has been fantastic, but on the claim side, I've heard good things about PLRB and some others. I'm just wondering if there were any that were particularly helpful on your side.
So there are so many industry groups, and that's really a great place to network. And it's great to have a benchmark for what's going on outside of your organization. So it's very easy to think, especially if you work at a large company, a large insurance company, let's say, that, well, you must know everything that's going on in the insurance world because you're a big company and, you know, you're such a huge sample of the marketplace, you must know what's happening. But that's really not the case. And once you get out and start meeting people who work at other places, you realize that there's a lot more going on and there's things happening in the industry of which you might not be aware. And also, insurance is huge. Wherever you are, you probably think, well, this is insurance. I work in workers' comp, and workers' comp is insurance, so this must be the biggest slice of the pie. Or if you work in commercial insurance, well, this must be the biggest slice of the pie, because look at all the huge premiums we're taking in, the huge buildings that we're insuring, and the huge companies that we're insuring. This must be the biggest part of insurance. There are so many different aspects to it, and so many different ways to have an insurance career, that it's great to get out to these organizations and join them. And many of them are free to join. And so many of them are so great, and they all have slightly different tacks. But I can tell you the ones that have been successful for me. CLM, I was a member of the CLM advisory board going back to, I think, 2016. Still on that advisory board. That's a fantastic group. They have outstanding industry conferences, and they have specialty conferences within the industry. They also have outstanding education. So whether you're an attorney or a claims professional or both, you can get ongoing credits in legal education or ongoing professional education through CLM. Rise is another great one. You know, I've been on Rise's advisory board since they were founded.
Happened to be wearing the shirt today.
Are you representing? I like it. Yes. I like it. Very nice. Yes. Rise is great. And I can't say enough about them. They're dedicated really to younger professionals in the insurance space. And they have a way of making insurance seem a lot more alluring and a lot more interesting than it might otherwise be to someone just coming out of college. They have a great job board. They have great mentorship programs. They do great education. I can't say enough good things about Rise.
I agree.
Prior to that, I was on the board, advisory board for ISO. And I worked with them for about 3 or 4 years. They're part of Verisk, a bigger organization that services the whole insurance industry. And people may know ISO from like ISO forms, for example. They have standard forms that are used for policy language, state by state. All great organizations. But through those organizations and their events, I met lots and lots of people within the industry. And I really recommend to younger people, especially who are just getting started, get out there and meet people. Because it's a very, very big industry. And you never know where your career is going to take you. You never know which person you're going to meet who's going to help advance your career. And sometimes one conversation can change the entire trajectory of your career. And you can get an opportunity you never thought you were going to get. And again, this is all part of being known, liked, and respected. Get known in the industry, both inside your company and outside your company. And all that outside knowledge will make you better wherever you are. Because there's always issues and problems to solve. And if you heard about how they might be being solved somewhere else, you can borrow from those ideas. Or if you've heard about where someone else tried to solve them and didn't have success somewhere else, you can maybe learn from that as well. And I always say the best mistakes to learn from are somebody else's. So the more you talk to people, the more you learn, the better you'll be at your job.
I love the comment about large carriers. I grew up at a very large carrier myself. I did a year at a small carrier, then four at a very large carrier, and then a year at a small one, and two more at a really large one. And in both of the really large ones, and a lot of people that I chat with from really large carriers, large carriers have their own gravity, right? They have their own universe, and it's so easy to assume that is it for insurance. It happened to me at Nationwide. I worked for Nationwide. My girlfriend, when I met her, worked at Nationwide's brokerage, and she kept telling me like there's a lot to insurance outside of Nationwide, and I didn't listen at the time, and later on I've seen that she was absolutely right. So yes, if you are at a very large carrier, get involved with outside organizations. It'll give you a much broader perspective of what's going on in the industry. That's fantastic advice. And yeah, CLM and Rice, both fantastic organizations. Very, very, very cool. So it's been, according to LinkedIn, about 14 years in insurance, right?
Twice that.
Okay, so the LinkedIn doesn't quite go...
It might be underestimating me a little bit, but yeah, it's been quite a while that I've been in insurance.
Okay.
And it's been a great ride. And I've had probably 11 different jobs, even though it was with one company.
So, all the same company.
Yeah. So it wasn't just that I couldn't keep a job down, but I kept moving around, and it was that whole thing, you know, trying to be known, trying to be liked, trying to be respected. And being a business person who happens to be a lawyer, and that kept opening doors for me because I understood different parts of the business. And I was able to keep moving around and doing different things. And that always kept it fresh for me as well. You know, when you have a new challenge, a new opportunity, even though you're staying at the same company, when you're doing something totally different, it feels like a career change. So, you know, if things start to get stale for you wherever you are, you know, you don't just have to look outside. If you're, you know, at a company of any scale, there's always something else you might be able to do. And you never know. Just raise your hand, volunteer for things, apply for jobs, even though if they say there's a preferred candidate, right? Apply for the job anyway if you're qualified, because you might not get it this time. But remember, be known, be liked, be respected. In that interview process, you will become known to decision makers. You might become liked by decision makers, and you might become respected by decision makers. And the next time there's a decision to make about whom we bring into the organization, it might be you. So it's experience, again, that they won't take away from you, and it's a chance to meet others and connect with them. And interviewing experience is a great thing to have as well. So don't let the existence of the so-called preferred candidate, don't let that intimidate you or stop you at all.
Fantastic. Dale, thank you so much for your time and advice today. Definitely an interesting area of the industry, and we don't talk about it nearly enough. But ultimately, what we do is a legal promise. And right. When the rubber hits the road, it's you guys that make sure that our customers are taken care of and that the policy is interpreted the correct way.
And Tony, you're so right. I mean, all insurance companies sell are a promise. And in many cases, that promise is the same from company to company because insurance is regulated at the state level in every state. And some states say your language has to look identical to the other company's language, and it's mandated. Here's the language that we say you must use. So the promise may be identical or virtually identical from policy to policy, but what really matters is who's behind it. Because, you know, a company is not some amorphous concept, it's people. Who are the people who are going to be keeping that promise? And will they keep it? You know, there's the solvency of the company too, right? Do they have the money to keep the promise? But ultimately it comes down to the people and the service that they provide. And I think of insurance policies being like a fire extinguisher. You know, you need to buy one, but you never know if you bought a good one until you have to use it. And you hope you never have to use it. But if people have to use that policy, it better work. That promise better be kept. So I think there's nobility in what we do in insurance.
Absolutely.
When people's world is falling down around upon them, we step in and pick up the pieces and help them get their life back together. And when times are at their worst, we are at our best. And I think that that's the single most rewarding part about being in insurance is the ability to help people when they're really going through a tough time, in some cases going through a crisis. In my case, they were being sued. They thought they were going to lose their house, lose their kids' college fund. And you can step in and say, you know what? This is what I do. I handle these things for people and everything's going to be fine. And like my dad used to say, you don't have a worry in the world.
Love it. That's a fantastic way to leave it. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Tony.